Sex.
All right. Hey, Scarlets. It's your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator, Mary Adele, here to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality and make these conversations more joyful and liberating and fun to have. Also inclusive, of course. We do all this so we can live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. All right. So last episode, we talked about sexual empowerment, which was really fun, especially coming off of the sexual shame series. And we're just going to keep that conversation going today with a very, very special guest. She's brilliant. She's sensual. She's creative. She's flexible. She's Jessica Welch. She's a writer, a pole dancer, a belly dancer, costume designer, and so much more. Jess, do you want to introduce yourself and add anything?
No. You've done an exquisite job. There's nothing else that I can think of to add to that.
She really is incredible. We know each other from grad school. It's actually, so my last guest was Erin Drew. She also was part of our cohort. So got a couple of my grad friends in on the podcast just because I know they're so wise and will add a lot to it. But Jess and I became closer when we both moved out of Baltimore and into Frederick. And so we've connected again. And actually, we're probably closer now than that we ever were in grad school.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because you were poetry and I was fiction.
Yeah. So. Yes.
There was some space.
Right. Yeah. Because poets and fiction writers are always just kind of I at least am in awe of fiction writers because I'm like, how do you write that long? How can you stay with the story for that long?
Yeah.
My poems are like half a page.
I struggled with the length myself because I feel like I'm more of a poet anyway. So you, I would always,
yes. Your stories are so poetic.
You.
Do you still have books for sale? Or
I
available?
Do.
What, and remind me of the title of your book.
Murmuration is the title.
Murmuration, yes. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Is it? We'll talk about where to find you at the end. But yeah, she's got a beautiful book. Like I said, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but she's a very sensual person. Like you just immediately know how in touch she is with nature and bodies and all that cool stuff. So I thought she'd be perfect to talk about sexual empowerment today. So yeah, in sexual empowerment news, we're going to focus on how your creative spirit, and yes, everyone has a creative spirit, speaks to and works with your sexuality and can actually help bring out your sexuality. So let's go ahead and recap just on the definition of empowerment. So empowerment is the process of becoming stronger and more confident, especially in controlling one's life and claiming one's rights. I just love that definition. I think it's really great. Mm. So everyone has a right to sexual empowerment and freedom. What we talked about last time, just some things to keep in mind as you build your sexual empowerment. It's a journey. I love using that millennial word. So it's going to have ups and downs for the rest of your life, and that's okay. And along with that, it's imperfect. You're going to make mistakes. Things are going to come up for you. You're going to feel really down sometimes. Don't give up. That doesn't mean that you can't ever be sexual or you can't ever feel that empowerment. There's no finish line. That's kind of depressing in a way, but but also, like, we're human. We're literally on earth to grow. So there's no not growing. You're always going to hit edges. You're always going to have to come, you know, overcome some kind of challenge. And that's what makes life, I guess, beautiful in some ways. And then it looks different for all of us. So what sexuality and what sexual empowerment looks for maybe your best friend is not going to look the same for you. So just keep that in mind. Your journey, your challenges are going to be different. All right. So Jess.
Yes.
Why don't you, can you just tell us, if you will, a little bit about your experience with sexuality, empowerment, and creativity? Like, how does sexuality and creativity intersect for you?
Well, in my bio, you were mentioning the things that I do. And when you were sending me the questions that you were going to ask me, it's funny because I looked at it and the first thing I thought was, am I sexually empowered? You know, do I express my sexuality creatively, or how do they intersect? And then it was like, no, this is you. This is what you live. And once I thought about the things that I do, I'm like, of course. So belly dance and pole dance, both for me, are very sensual. And I find that movement always helps me express whatever's going on for me.
Mm.
So if that is something that's sexual or sensual, it's going to come out in my movement.
Yeah. And so you never, while you're doing these movements, does it, and it's obviously okay if the answer is no, are you thinking like, oh, this is my sexual self? Like, are those thoughts that are present for you?
Honestly, if I'm at home and I'm just, dancing, you know, free dancing or practicing on my own sometimes, yes. Mm-hmm. But with belly dance, I don't do that when I'm out dancing in public, just because that art form has had a lot of, I don't even know what the words are to describe it, but we've done a lot in that community to separate it from
sexualization.
Yeah, sexualization and fetishizing and all that. So I don't really think about that or try to bring that into it when I'm doing a belly dance performance. Mm. I'll be flirty and playful.
Yeah.
That's like my line for it.
Yeah.
But of course, with pole dance, the line is a little, can be a little further. So
sure.
With that, yes. If I'm doing a sexier pole number, then yeah. I'll think about, you know, who I'm seducing or what's happening and how kind I'm feeling.
Fantasy play.
Yeah,
almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to note, and that probably is a whole nother podcast in terms of like sexualization and when that's not okay versus like when you are in your own body and empowered in it. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that at some point, but that was an important thing to bring up. So thank you, Jess. But I had something on. Mm-hmm. Oh, we talked about in the very first podcast, the circles of sexuality. One of those circles is sensuality, or even like sexualization in the way that you are flirty, but it doesn't necessarily mean I want to have sex. Yes. So like, I think that both of those dance forms definitely bring in at least part of those circles in some way, especially
Absolutely.
Probably sensuality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And that's where I'm comfortable. That's more of my home.
Yeah.
Is sensuality. And it's funny that you're talking about flirting, you know, without the expectation of sex coming out of it. Mm-hmm. That's me, definitely. I'm a huge flirt. I've toned it down because I'm, you know, I have a partner and husband.
Yeah, yeah.
For like 10 years now. Mm-hmm. But I definitely find myself flirting, and it's not even sexual. I was at a party this weekend, and there's a huge group of people, and one of the guys there, it was just a matter of playing off of the energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, his girlfriend or wife is right there too. And I'm like, later on, I questioned whether it was too flirty. And I was like, no, I think we were fine.
Yeah.
She wasn't uncomfortable. No one was uncomfortable.
Sure.
But it's...
it's an expression. It's it's how you relate and communicate with people. Mm-hmm. And I really want to enunciate, I'm glad we're bringing up the fact that you can flirt with someone and there's no obligation to ever have sex or go any further than that.
That's my favorite kind of flirting.
Yes. It's fun because it's like you're expressing something deep within yourself that, and there's a connection there, and we're supposed to connect with each other.
Yeah.
So if like, I just got to do a little PSA, Scarlett's listeners, if there's flirting happening and there's jealousy and, you know, jealousy can be healthy in its own right, but you never, like, you're allowed to flirt even if you're in a relationship. Yeah. It's okay. It's just like you have to have communication and consent and such. And like, it's probably also another podcast in itself. But I just wanted to bring that out because I love that, that idea of just being able to express yourself and connect with a human being in a flirty way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's important.
I agree.
Well, then let's back up a little bit.
Sure.
If you feel comfortable telling us just a little bit about like sexuality for you growing up and any kind of experiences you've had that you feel are of note that you'd want to share.
36 years of it. So I'm trying to think of what's important. What are my notes to hit on?
Yeah, and I didn't prepare you for this.
Not
one,
at
so
all.
We can always come back.
Yeah, I might want to come back to
it. Yeah, sure. Let's see. What else did I have here? I was wondering about, like, do you have anything in your life right now that you put into practice in order to feel like your more sexual self, such as creativity?
I think it's not something I consciously think about, but my dance practice is definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in pole classes at least 5 days a week. And they have a great setup because there's a mirror there. And for me, feeling sexy is also seeing myself and seeing what I'm doing and whether it looks, quote unquote, looks sexy or sensual.
Yeah, yeah.
There's sort of a feedback that happens for me from seeing myself and then feeling what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way. What is it you think about movement and the body that is so nice or sensual? Or
for me, I'm going to answer a question that may or may not be in there. For me, I tend to, when I'm not balanced, I tend to sit and stagnate and ruminate a lot and get obsessive and all that. And none of that to me is sexy. It does not make me feel sexy or sensual. And so movement opens me up again, and it helps me become more balanced and therefore express that energy in a healthy way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's nice. Do you ever struggle with feeling sexy or empowered?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you speak to any of those struggles?
For me, it's when I leave my house, I'm usually striving to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I don't usually wear makeup. I'll have lip gloss. That's it, because my lips get dry. Mm-hmm. If they didn't, I probably wouldn't wear it. So I don't leave the house wanting that layer of sexuality or sensuality. I don't like to be looked at. I have felt it's a bit of, I think it's an OCD symptom or paranoia. I'm not sure which one. I've always felt like people are staring at me. Mm-hmm. And so to put that off, I don't really do anything.
Yeah.
However, when I'm performing, it's a different story. And I love sitting down and I love putting on all the makeup, doing my hair. And honestly, as I was getting ready for that party I was talking about, I realized this is my favorite part of going out for a social event or mm-hmm. a performance is sitting and getting ready.
Yeah.
And I should really just revel in that.
And it's fun, at least for me, I think because of my Gemini, to like do that with other people too, like connect with friends in that way.
I get distracted easily. Oh, yeah. So I tend to not. I'll sit there and stare and watch other people put their makeup on and watch them do their hair, and then I'll be like, oh, crap.
That in itself, though, is sensual. That's to true. Me. I like watching people like put lipstick That's on true. And like eye makeup on. There's something kind of titillating about
it is.
That.
There is.
Not in a voyeuristic way. Of course, I like never want to creep anyone out, but.
Oh, in that question, I think my other response is about my marriage. So we've been together for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's gotten more difficult over the years to continue to feel sexy.
Yeah.
I think I've thought about it a lot because it bothers me. It's something that's kind of on my list of how I want to be more sexually empowered or where I want to be more sexually empowered, which is at home. I think for me, it's just a matter of there's a lot more at stake now. Mm. So being vulnerable now is a lot. It feels more dangerous and more risky.
Yeah.
Whereas in my younger years, back to your earlier question about my sexuality, I was much more open to just like, you know, meeting somebody and just falling into some sort of physical relationship.
Sure.
It's a heck of a lot easier. Not so much at stake. Sure, I would, you know, fall in love and do that whole crazy thing.
Yeah.
Not meaning to, of course.
Yeah.
But it was a lot easier.
What do you think it is about being in a long-term relationship that puts things more at stake?
I think because you've built up a lot of memories, you've built up a lot of things that you cherish. There's a lot of together space. And that's at risk. Whereas when you just meet someone or if you've only known them for a few months, you don't have a lot of shared things.
There's not that sense of obligation.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an important thing to think about because I would assume our listeners are, some of them are in what, LTRs? Mm-hmm. Is that what it, I think that's what the kids are saying.
Oh my gosh. Long-term relationships.
Yeah. So we should probably do, again, I keep coming up with more episodes, but like how to keep things like it. Having those conversations for me are hard. Like being vulnerable is not easy.
Yes.
But I don't know. Have you watched the new Queer Eye, the Japan?
I have not yet. I put off shows that I know are going to make me cry.
Yeah. Oh,
I
wait this
to,
one.
I want to cry.
You will definitely. Yeah. Some tears are going to come. Because the last episode was about a couple. Well, it was about a guy. And they were in a sexless marriage for like 4 years. And like in the episode, of course, the Fab Five get him to like open up. And just like tears, like just like falling out of him. And they have, they like mediate a conversation between the two. But it's, you could see it was not easy for them to do. And they had, they were best friends. Yeah. They just hadn't, that's what they were at that point, was just best friends, you know? So that stuff's not easy.
It is not.
As humans. So communication is key. But again, I say that knowing that it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And I also think that's part of it too, is that in the LTRs.
Embrace it, Jess.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying. I'm old. In a long-term relationship, you are working on other things a lot of the time. You're working on sustaining life together, you know?
Yes.
Work, literally working, going to work so that you have enough money to afford wherever you're living or whatever you're driving or, you know, whatever you need in your house, the food, that kind of thing.
Oh, of course.
And the energy is going to that.
Right. Yeah, and like that's such a good important note to, I don't know, because our big listenership is like 18 to 21 year olds, I think. So probably not a lot of people, you know, living together yet.
Yeah.
But so, you know what? Next episode will be all about LTRs and how to, I'm going to research and talk to people. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go back to dancing, if that's okay. When you're performing, is there a connection you have with your audience that feels electric in some way, or how would you describe that part of them watching you?
I definitely get a lot of energy from the audience. And only recently have I felt sort of empowered in my like actual facial expressions when I'm connecting with them. We did a Halloween showcase at the Pole Studio, and it's an aerial studio.
Great.
Thank you. That's right.
So great.
There's aerial apparatuses, pole, and belly dance. And so during the belly dance, I definitely did feel that connection this time. I felt able to sort of embody this masked creature that we were, you know, that I was playing. I don't know. It is electric, like you said.
And it gives you the space, I don't know, you've already said this, but just to be free and also like express yourself in a way that you don't get to do in the humdrum of the day.
Yes,
you know.
When you say that, it makes me think of the people that can walk down the street and sing really loudly.
Yes.
And I love them, and I'm like, why can't I? I'm not comfortable doing that. I've never been comfortable doing that.
In my car, maybe, but
oh yeah, definitely.
That's not like
different. Yeah. No, public street with everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's tough. Getting that much attention is like, I just love it though too because they're just like, well, I don't care what people think.
Exactly.
I'm doing whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
So go them.
I think I'm too much of an observer. And so if people are observing me, then I'm like, oh, but I can't.
Oh,
I can't get my writer observations. I can't, you know.
Yeah, that's a good, because I think I'm more of a, I'm probably somewhere in the between, because I definitely like attention. Mm-hmm. Someone told me the other day that I dress like a Pisces, and I was like, you could not have given me a better compliment, because Pisces are known for like,
I didn't know that,
just artistic, kind of wacky looking
awesome.
Yeah, outfits. Yeah, and I was like, thank you. So clearly I do like some attention, but. But I'm not to the point where I want to sing walking down the street.
Right.
Attention.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you, do you have some advice? Like I said, we've got listeners anywhere. I mean, probably of all ages. That would be awesome. But on the college campus, we've got 18 to 20, 21-year-olds. Do you have any advice for in terms of creativity or getting out there?
Yeah, I would say go towards what moves you. What opens your heart and your mind.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you'll find empowerment through that.
It's like a message that I think we hear a lot, but it takes a while
takes
to
ages.
Really embed itself because you're going to, like, I for the longest time ran. That was my form of movement. I did not like it one bit.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. But I did it anyway because that's what people did. Like, that's how I, like, moved my body.
Yeah.
As soon as you Scarlets are able to seriously just sit down and be like, what would my body love to do? And it can change. But, like, a lot of times, like, Jess, like, dance and aerial and pole dance, like, that felt so right to her.
Yes.
For me, it's the roller skating. Like, when I'm in my roller skates, I feel so – it's free. It's like I feel free and, like, I'm not thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
So if you can find that, that is an expression of, it doesn't, you don't have to name it this way, but it is an expression of your sexuality because you're tuning in, aligning your body to, I don't know.
What feels good.
Yeah, what feels good.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's beautiful advice. So yeah, Scarlett's challenging you in the next 2 weeks to do maybe a form of movement that you've done before that you loved or that you've never done, but you're really curious about and see how it makes you feel. Really tune into your body. We do have a question from a listener. This person said that they experience a lot of setbacks as they try to become more sexually empowered and creative. Sometimes I don't feel like I have the time or that I'm failing. How do you deal with setbacks? So I'll jump in real quick with what I was going to say. It's a great question. Always remember, as I said earlier, the path to empowerment, whether it's sexual empowerment or just empowerment in general, and the, you know, your self-worth, your self-love, peace, freedom, all that stuff is rocky, imperfect, and never ending. You're never going to reach full 100% perfect. You don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, then you're boring. And you probably die because you have to keep growing,
experience,
you know?
It's over.
Right. So, we have to keep growing and evolving. And here are some ways, though, just a few tips to combat those setbacks. So just tell yourself failing is good. Mistakes are good because you're going to learn from them and do better next time. And I know this is an annoying thing to say, but you always have time. You always have time to do things. You just have to restructure how you think about time and how you use it. So when you're constantly saying, I'm too busy, it's kind of playing the victim card. Like, you're not too busy necessarily. And listen, I don't have a kid. I don't know what that's like. So I know that that adds a whole other element of how to organize time, but you still can make it.
Yeah.
even if it's 30 minutes, right. 20 minutes.
Or 10.
10. Yes. Yeah. And that time will probably grow because you're going to be like, oh, mm-hmm. this is nice and this feels good mm-hmm. and I'm a better person when I do this. Mm-hmm. So that's another one. Take yourself out on a date. I think that's Ooh. Really fun.
I want to do that.
Yeah, just take yourself out on a date.
I'll do that today. Well, Tom's at work.
There you go. Yeah. Dress up. I don't know. Yesterday, I went to a greenhouse and just picked Ooh. Out a cactus.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really nice. Yeah. So I was just like, I'm just going to go do this. Yeah, and oh, a big one, don't judge people. I know this feels like it has nothing to do with it, but the more you cannot judge a person for whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. you're not going to judge yourself mm-hmm. as much. And that's going to free up some time because we are judging ourselves all damn day.
Yeah.
So the less you judge another person, the less you're going to judge yourself, the more time you're going to have to find that sexual empowerment.
Agreed.
Do you have anything else you would add to this?
Sure. This question really, I delved, so I actually wrote down my response, just because it's one that I find I struggle with a lot,
whether it's
in the realm of sexual empowerment or other types of empowerment. So my advice is to practice being kind to yourself and starting to explore why maybe you didn't meet your goals. So what choices did you make that kept you where you are mm-hmm. instead of moving you forward? And then think about why you made those choices.
Yeah.
For me, 9 times out of 10, I made the choice because it kept me safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're keeping yourself safe, it's really a good idea not to judge yourself for that.
Yeah.
Because that sort of, any defense mechanism has taken a lifetime to build.
Oh, my God.
So it's going to take a little time to break it down and unlearn it.
Mm-hmm.
So just being kind about where you are and maybe thinking about, okay, perhaps this goal or this step was too big. How can I break this down into something smaller?
Sure.
Something more bite-sized.
Chunk it down.
Chunk it down. Yeah.
Do you have an example of anything that you've done? I know I keep putting you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I'm so happy you sent me questions ahead of time because I am someone I go blank.
I do too.
Yeah.
I know. So I don't like doing it to other people.
No, it's okay.
But I can help massage it out too.
Sure. I don't even know. Like an old goal of mine used to be an orgasm.
Mm.
And then to me now, looking back, I'm like, setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, putting that pressure.
Yeah, that's a huge amount of pressure, especially when someone else is involved.
Yeah.
Like, that's just...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. But thinking about that goal, I'm not sure how I chunked it down. I think what I did was like, can I curse? I'm not going to curse. Anyway, I think what happened for me, I was just like, oh, forget this. And so once I, let it go and moved on, it was not as important anymore.
Yeah.
And eventually happened. So it's like, okay. Taking the pressure away might, allow myself to be calmer or in the moment or whatever it is that needed to happen.
Yeah. And I think that right there, why not focus on like, how is this making my thighs feel? Even something.
Yes.
That, like
mindfulness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I personally get really tingly thighs when I'm like engaging in pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so just focusing maybe on another body part.
Yeah,
that's a good one. There is so much pressure to orgasm and just all kinds of subliminal messages that we've received growing up that like makes it really nerve-wracking, mm-hmm. particularly like you said, with another person.
Yes, absolutely.
I would definitely also, like when you're masturbating, just like let yourself just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. And not expect anything.
Yes. Yeah, play. Yeah. Like, massage your feet. Like, that can mm-hmm. be a form of masturbation mm-hmm. in its own way. You don't have to call it that, but like, that's you being sensual with yourself.
It is. Yeah.
So I think that's great. I'm glad you brought that up.
I don't know that there are other
ones.
Other goals that I've had that are, because once I realized what I was doing to myself with my perfectionism, I was like, maybe we shouldn't make these goals. Let's just live life and try to let it happen.
Oh, I love it. No more goals. Fight the goals.
I put them in other areas of my life. Not that.
Sexual goals are kind of like tricky because, again, like since we didn't learn anything about it or talk about it, like, how can you have goals? We don't even know what it is a lot of times. I mean, it's getting better, thank God. But mm-hmm. like, that's what had to be a goal for me. It was literally, I've talked about this in the mm-hmm. podcast, when I had vaginismus.
Yes.
I actually had to stretch out my muscles, which was like inserting dilators every week in different sizes and working up to that. Mm-hmm. So that's all, like, that's what I had to go with in the first. I just had to learn how to have intercourse. Like, and like, that's another important thing. You don't have to have, obviously, because we're not all mm-hmm. having that, penis mm-hmm. into vagina mm-hmm. sex. Like, that doesn't have to be sex. Sex can be so many different things.
Yes. Yeah. And thank goodness.
I know.
Because growing up, I was not that, you know.
Gung-ho about it?
No. In my time, like growing up, that was not sex. Sex was vaginal intercourse. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So now, thank God, the definitions
it's expanded.
Are expanding and exploding. And yeah.
Oh, thank God. I think people are feeling more affirmed, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Hopefully that was helpful. I mean, another thing I would say is finding something that grounds you. So we talk about meditation, and again, like, maybe I'm just overthinking this, but I'm constantly disclaiming and being like, I know that's annoying to say. Maybe it's not annoying and people are like, oh yeah, meditation sounds great. I just know that people have told me to meditate so many times that at this point I'm just like, what does that even mean?
Well, yeah.
But for me, like, I've found a practice of drinking water in the morning and then, like, just being like, all right, how's my body feeling? This morning woke up with PMS cramps, so or not PMS cramps, just cramps in general. Yeah. So that was like kind of overtaking the rest of my body.
Yeah.
But just being able to, because we do this whole thing where our mind's separate from our bodies.
Absolutely.
So the more you can kind of like just tune into your body is a good first step, I would say. And dance helps with
it. It does. That's why part of why I love it so much, because I am definitely in my head most of the time.
Oh God, me too. All right, so my next segment is Pause for Pleasure. I didn't tell you about this one, but it is.
Surprise!
I think you'll find this one pretty easy, though. Okay. You just have to talk about something that's given you pleasure in the past week or couple weeks. Okay. So for me, I've been doing another thing. People tell me to meditate. People tell me to journal. And I'm always like, I don't want to journal. It does not sound fun to me. But I've been journaling every morning. I think I told you this.
Yes.
It's just kind of like a brain dump on the page. Yeah. I really feel, I'm a skeptic. I really am. For someone who feels witchy and magical, I still am very I have a lot of skepticism. But this has been working.
Ooh.
I literally just write out all my bullshit on a page in the morning.
Yeah.
And like all the little thoughts that I know will otherwise hamster wheel in my head.
Yes.
And the thoughts don't necessarily go away, but it's like I was describing to someone, it feels like softer.
Yes.
Did I say that to you?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay.
I have that experience.
Yeah, where all of a sudden it's just like toned down a little bit so I can get work done.
Yeah.
Or I can like drink a lot of coffee and be hyper all day. No, just kidding. That's how I'm feeling right now. But I just like I'm getting more done and feeling more confident. It's been kind of a slump the past couple of months. So these morning pages, that's what the self-help book I'm reading calls it, The Artist's Way, has been amazing.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's good. Feeling. And then I did drink a new beer. I don't know. Do we have any? There might be some drinkers listening. But if you're a beer person, RARs, it's a brewery in Maryland. Finding Astoria. Oh, my gosh. It was the juiciest beer I've ever had. I know you're not a drinker,
that's
but
okay.
It's a tangerine blood orange sour.
Well, that does sound good.
I just sat there and just like, literally just salivated into this beer. It was so good. So that was kind of like a tangible sensual experience.
I like that.
Now give me yours, Jess. What's giving you pleasure?
I actually went on, I went to a truffle shop.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the perfect truffle.
Oh my God.
And I came away with two truffles. There was the five spice hazelnut that I chose. And then I asked him to choose one, and it was an almond one.
Oh.
I actually preferred that one. It was delicious.
Oh.
But just that experience. It's so bite-sized, and so you have to tune in.
Indulge
and taste it.
Yeah, and it feels so special getting just a couple of chocolates. Like
For myself, too.
Yeah. And you didn't get a whole box. Like, there's something overwhelming about a box of chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, no shame on the box of chocolates, but, like, just getting a couple, and you're like, I picked these out very intentionally.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that. Go get yourself some chocolate.
Yes.
If you're of age, go drink some beer.
Maybe some chocolate beer.
Yeah, and maybe journal while you're drinking chocolate beer.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. We just came up with a perfect pleasurable experience. All right, Jess, do you want to real quickly tell us where to find you on social media?
Sure. On Instagram, it's soulflower33.
Awesome. And if people wanted to look at your book, which is beautiful.
So you'd have to contact me. Reach out to me on Instagram.
DM her.
Yeah, soulflower33.
Soulflower33. And I am at
Mary. That's S-O-L. Flower.
Right.
Like solar.
Yeah, like S-O-L the sun.
Flower 33.
Gotcha. Sorry. And then I am at Mary Adele 2Ls _ sex educator. If you want to email me with questions, that's info@maryadele.com. Also, be sure to check out all the other awesome podcasts on Dragon Digital Radio. Follow them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. And then, you know, rate, comment on this podcast. Tell us what you think. I mean, only if you have good things to say. Just kidding. Nope. I got to be able to change too. So let me know all kinds, any kind of feedback. And Jess, thank you so much for being here. This was wonderful.
For having me.
Yes. All right, Scarlets, go ahead. Seek pleasure. Have great weeks. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.